All right, so let's get back to open lines this hour on Coast to Coast. Now, you can touch on the previous security issue, but, you know, it's open line. So that just means take us in a new direction, too. Coming up next on Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. We'll start with whoever's been hanging on the longest. I think that's Rosie in West L.A. on Coast to Coast. Rosie?
Well, I think I've been on the shortest because I just got in the call and I'm the first one on.
Well, on the phone list, it lists you at 6 minutes, so everybody else is under that. So
okay. Well, hi, Ian. Well, before I get to my topic, I want to say that you are my favorite host on Coast to Coast, and I'm going to miss you. And I like that you talk about other things besides the end of the world and stuff. Like, I enjoyed the Navy SEAL thing and the hoarding.
Good.
And stuff like that that doesn't always affect everybody.
Well, thank you. And we're just glad that you have a favorite. And I know you're going to love John B. Wells coming up.
He's got a great voice.
He does. He's fabulous.
Mitchell, when I
he does.
They both have great voices.
Yeah, it's very good. So you had a quick comment or thought?
Well, yes. I was just wondering, you know, your competition, Doug McIntyre on Red Eye Radio, he asked the eternal question, how much government are you willing to pay for? And there are certain things government agencies, I do not want, because a lot of them are treating us like criminals, like the EPA and things like that. But we do need trash. We do need people to collect trash, you know, because I don't know where the trash, you know, where the garbage dump is. What are we supposed to do?
Well, see, there's lots of communities that don't have that. There's lots of communities that don't have a garbage pickup, and it's... You know, it's up to everybody who owns a home to decide where the garbage can go. You can drop it at place A or place B. And I think everybody has an agency or many agencies that they wish didn't exist. I don't know how we can run a government a la carte like that, but let's continue to push back against the government and continue to be as healthily skeptical. You know, I mean, I believe the founding fathers, James Madison, many times talked about a healthy distrust for the government is what we all need to have. And I think that's what we should have, and especially when it comes to our surveillance. And Jeff is in Kansas on Coast to Coast. Jeff?
Yes, sir.
All right. So you've been tracked, you think?
Well, I had an interesting story for you. A good friend of mine had a son-in-law who went to work for a... major car dealership in Wichita, Kansas earlier this year, and I was over there, and he said, well, I have a car you might be interested in, so I went by there, and we were going to take a test drive, and I got in the car, and I looked down and saw about a 4x4 white box attached to the outer wall of the car, like a old emergency brake would be. And I said, what's that? And he said, well, that's the box, that's a cutoff box. And I said, well, what are you talking about? And he says, well, we do lending through a bunch of different companies, and if you finance through those companies and you don't pay your car payment,
then just cut it off.
Cut off your car, and we'll come and get it. We'll know where it's at, and your car will be disabled. We'll come and get it. And I'd never heard of that before.
Right. I've heard of that only here's what I know. This is sound awful, and I don't know. I've heard that on the cheapest of car lots, where the car seller is also the person who's providing the loan. So I don't know if that pertains to your friend, but that's the only time I've heard of it. So you go to those places that say, we'll finance you even if you don't have good credit. And that's how they do it, that you either keep paying or that you stop driving. It's sort of the car equivalent of a prepaid phone.
Yeah, this wasn't one of those. It was it's a big time car company still in business, and this was just one of their many lots that they have. And this is one of the used car lots.
Yeah, see, now maybe it's off their low end used car lot, but it's a fair point. It's a very, and I have never actually seen one. I've just known people who have turned down that loan. They were offered that loan. Hey, look, you don't have any credit. You take this thing. If you don't pay, we turn it off. You keep paying, you can drive it forever. That's what I've heard. But very interesting. Thank you for jumping in. Teresa is in Wisconsin on a wild card line on Coast to Coast. Teresa?
Hi, Ian. I've listened to George Norrie and a couple other individuals since tuning into Coast to Coast. As far as your last guest on your show, Lauren, I've had a similar circumstance, which was confirmed by the CIA and law enforcement, where there was a homing device.
By the CIA?
Yeah, there was a relative who has connections.
I'll be
but
there.
Anyway, you're a man who's a Christian, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. But I have something to let you know. I let C-SPAN know earlier last week, and we've been on radio a couple times in America, rather rarely, because people don't want the word to get out that Jesus Christ Yahweh is in Australia. We sent official claims of the throne of England, United Kingdom of Israel, to Queen Elizabeth, the Vatican, Barack Obama, and other notifications to our body of government in Washington, D.C., the head people and the department heads.
How do you happen to know of this in Australia?
Well, he has 3,000 videos, which is at Brian is Yahweh 3 or Brian is Yahweh 1 or Brian is Yahweh 2 on YouTube.
Wait. This is the second coming of Jesus, and his name is Brian, as in the Monty Python movie, Brian, The Life of Brian?
Brian means there's different, as we know, and there's English and common names. There's biblical interpretations for people's names. Revelation, it tells you that he comes back with a name that only he knows and he reveals.
And the name is Brian.
Brian stands for key. Leonard is lion. Golightly is tribe of Judah. Marshall is House of David.
Okay.
My site is Peace Now White Dove at MySpace with condensed revelations and prophecy with videos that are on the blog section. And also Peace Now White Dove on YouTube. We've sent out official notifications, which were notarized by an attorney for the Queen in Australia. He sent those out. He had very much difficulty getting this to be processed because they didn't want the official document to go through to her.
Wait. Let me ask, if he's Jesus, if Brian is Jesus, why does he need to do any of that?
Because there's a protocol, because he's incarnated. He had to come by the womb from the heavenly realm, as he did in the Christ timeline, in order to, come back to Earth. There's a heavenly realm and an earthly realm.
Okay, but why does he, that still doesn't explain, why does he need to notify the Queen of England?
Because she's sitting on the throne, according to her, one of her things that she's taken an oath to is to hold the throne and would release it to Jesus Christ when he returns.
Okay.
Because that's
so this would be, Brian would be taking, theoretically then, she should step aside and Brian should take over at the throne in England.
Exactly. The tribe of Judah, House of David, reigning kings and queens throughout history have been deposed or murdered on the thrones that they have been on. And there have been inceptions of wars that have caused them to get instability and lose their kingdoms by the throats from both sides, from either the Vatican or from the bankers, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers.
Whatever. But I'm just saying, so the idea is he's notifying her that she should step aside.
Right.
And if she doesn't, then what?
Well, the angels are going to intervene by, if you're familiar with, I'm sure George Norrie touches upon, he hits every area of conversation you can imagine. But there's a planet Nibiru, or planet X.
Mm-hmm. I'm very familiar with it, right?
The solar system was created by God. The stars were placed in the skies by God.
Yes, I know all that.
Earth,
yes.
We don't have the ability to do that. Most of us don't, right?
Got it. Right. So, what is that? How does that pertain to what happens
he's given them opportunities to change, to repent. Certain of the Illuminatis, who are the people who have been worshiping Lucifer and the fallen angel spirits, that's the Illuminatis. There's 135 million of them in the world.
Okay.
And it's comprised of politicians and world leaders and people in corporations and even celebrities. But, and there have been people that have repented. They're changing their ways, stopping, because they're the seeds of Cain.
Because of Brian.
Because they know he's here.
Because Brian's in Australia. Now, if he doesn't, so what happens on February 22nd? If the Queen of England doesn't step aside and give her throne to Brian?
Well, the angels, as in history, every 3,600 years, the planet Nibiru comes into the solar system in close range of the Earth.
Yeah.
And what happens is there's angelic powers that work in the spiritual realm. Okay, if you understand that, you know, there's fallen angels and there's
spirits. I'm waiting for the what will happen part.
They create, there's multiple angels. There's like seven orbiting little, like smaller little asteroids, whatever, going around the planet Nibiru.
Yeah.
They could be directly led to aim at, they could aim at the Vatican, the throne of England, Washington, D.C. It has a laser ability. Right now, the angels have destroyed some of the underground facilities, like under Washington, D.C., with these cities and installations, and also by, is it Los Alamos, that area where they're doing the deep underground military bases, where they're doing the cloning and all that kind of crap.
They're doing cloning there?
They're doing things that they shouldn't do that wouldn't would defy against God's creation.
So lasers coming from the moons around planet.
No, it's like little part, like if you can imagine a nucleus and atom.
No, I get it. But you're saying, I thought you said lasers were gonna, or light was gonna come down and maybe destroy.
The angels can actually direct it, and they have plans that if these people don't repent by February 22nd, they're given 20 days of grace.
Okay.
They've already been offered the opportunity to repent and get, you know, given grace and forgiveness for no matter what they've done, including the mortal sin of satanic ritual human sacrifice.
Okay.
Eating another person, drinking the blood. And we know that goes on. And that's why there's so many missing children and adults.
Okay. What's going to happen February 22nd is that if Brian will be established, then the angels will take their revenge. What happens if nothing happens on February 22nd? What happens if nothing happens?
We're in a wind down right now. If you know anything about the Milky Way, if you know about...
I get that, but what happens in your theology, in your cosmology, what happens if nothing happens on February 23rd and you wake up and the Queen is still on her throne and the Vatican's there?
February 22nd, I said, and then 20 days of grace.
Okay, so then it's 20 days of grace after the 22nd?
Then March 13th, the vengeance of Yahweh, who is the creation name of God, Jesus Christ.
Right. So right around St. Patrick's Day.
Just like in preceding years where you see the ruins of the Temple of Zeus or in certain areas of the world where you see ruins, that was an impact from the lasers or the asteroids and combinations of asteroids done by the angelic realm. God has been working in New Guinea. He's been on TV in New Guinea. There's a news reporter named, by last name of Marshall, who was not related, but got the news story on Australian broadcast about his cure for AIDS and cancer, and actually spending his pension money to cure the poor people in New Guinea and supplementing three families and setting three primitive clinics to use colloidal silver, ozonation, MMS2.
Okay, we're getting off the subject here, but
let me explain.
Let's not lose sight of the fact that as much as
35 books at Lulu.
We've had 8 minutes here. I don't want you, just can't be you talking over me. So here's the bottom line is March 13th, then not the 22nd of February. That begins the 20 days of grace. But on March 13th, that is the cutoff. And then after that, that's when there will be these lasers coming from the moons around planet X.
It's like a physical property of physics of a laser. It has a brain capacity where it can be that specific to do things. Like the Vatican was notified by me and Yahweh and other saints with registered mail. That's why my car had a homing device. That's why I've been shot at twice. That's why I'm protected.
Because you're are you an angel?
I'm one of the saints reincarnated. I've lived before.
You are one of the. Which one of the saints are you? Which one of the saints are you?
Well, my primary saint name is Mary Ruth, actually, and actually I was Teresa. That's why I said Teresa. Teresa was a nun who had lived in the past. I also was a tribe of Judah, House of David, Queen of all nations.
Okay.
That's why I had to send out a notice to cease and desist to Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, the Congress, the Senate, the governors, international foreign embassies, the heads of state, the Vatican, Queen Elizabeth, and Prince Charles.
I got
it. Because I've done those before in history. I know how to do that. I've conducted terms of war and terms of peace and truces. God is giving them an opportunity to repent. And the other thing.
I gotta wrap this up, but I have one other question. So what happens then on March 14th if nothing happens on the 13th?
God exerts his wrath. The vengeance comes.
I get it. But if nothing happens on the 14th, then what are you going to do? What does that mean to you if nothing happens? Well, if nothing happens, what does it mean to you?
He has a measurement of the Earth, all the different things. He had 3,000 videos. They took down his original site at Michelle Nye on YouTube last summer. So some of the videos were lost. But he does have remaining proofs of his who he is, the measure
right.
of the Earth, the pyramid series.
That's fine.
George Norrie and Alex Jones. Alex Jones knows he's here.
Okay, what I'm just saying, so Brian, I understand, but Brian, if nothing happens on March 14th, then what do you do? Is it will you reconsider whether or not Brian was Jesus if nothing happens on March?
I won't reconsider because I've had two sniper attacks at me. I've had Manchurian candidates try to go after me.
Manchurian candidates have come after you?
Oh, wow. Yes, two episodes.
All right.
I'm not lying to you.
I believe you on the episodes. That part, let's just end on a point of agreement that you've had many episodes. And let me just say, I will watch this. We'll see any abnormal activity for February 22nd or then March 13th. I have put them as an alert on my phone, so they will both be popping up. And I'll keep an eye out for Brian the Messiah from Australia. And thanks for giving me all that time. Let's go to first-time caller line. Steve is in Phoenix on Coast to Coast. Steve?
Oh, hi. Thanks for having me on, Ian.
Glad we could get you in before the bottom of the hour. Go ahead.
Yeah. Going back to the subject of, like, spying, I found several GPS units, and I guess they're more like analog, like, beacons, like on my truck and vehicle. Throughout the last 7 to 12 years.
What do they look like?
The one that's more analog, I suspect, is I found several of them. It's not like I have a truck and it's like on the back tire. I had flat once and I took it off and there's a black box and it's like a little black box you could get at Radio Shack, like a little fun electronics box. And I opened it up. It was all dusty on the outside, like a lot of dirt. I opened it up and it's just like brand new and clean on the inside with a little electronic board and with a wire, like probably about a foot and a half, maybe 2 feet long, that kind of hangs off my tire. And I've noticed in 2000 and all the way up, there's always a little wire coming off my truck. I've yanked them off. Like a month later, it would be back on there. But every time I would actually, I could never figure out what this was. I thought, you know, it was just like from buying a used vehicle or whatever. So I would throw it in my garage or my, you know, and I wouldn't ever find it again when I go back to it. And I found out like my dad spent a lot of time out of the country in the 80s and 90s. I think that I was told like he was actually like investigated. So I think like I've been investigated for some time and I suspect I still am. I heard your radio show and I thought
I'm glad you did. That's interesting. And just real quickly, I mean, do you think they are no longer doing it or was there a breaking point on why they gave up?
No, actually, I believe they still are. Oh, I know they still are. I suspect they're tracking my dad in the late 80s, early 90s.
But why you? Why now? Okay, why if that's all history, why now?
I think it's some private detectives kind of hooked up on me. I got in a lot of trouble in my early 20s, and I think they're hooked on me, and they've been just tracking me. Even at the university here in Arizona, I have like people approaching me, asking me odd and weird questions.
Right.
Brush it off. If I'm being investigated, that's fine. But another thing,
I don't have enough time for another thing. Sorry, I just ran out of time because I'm up against the bottom of the hour. But thank you for all of that, Steve. And again, this is the virtue of open lines. You never know where we're going to go. I certainly don't, even when I think I do. Coming up next, Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. So heading into our last half hour here of open line calls, and they are open. So where are you going to take us? We'll find out coming up next. Remember, if you've got StreamLink now called Coast Insider, you can listen to Coast anytime you want, anywhere you want, on any device practically that you have, maybe even on like a toaster. I don't know. You got to check. But I guess that would be Toast Insider. Yeah, never mind. But Coast Insider, check that out so that you can listen to any hour, anytime, any show. Go back in time and listen to all of your favorites over and over again. Find out more by going to the website at coasttocoastam.com. And if you missed it, check out that first hour announcement, too, that I made. And we won't be talking about that between now and the top of the hour. On Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. All right, let's get back to the open line calls. Where do you want to go? We'll start with Mike in Los Angeles, west of the Rockies on Coast to Coast. Mike?
Hi, how's it going, Ian?
Going so well, thanks so much. Where do you want to take us?
Okay, well, sorry to have to linger on the previous hour, but I thought it was important.
You know Brian the Messiah in Australia as well?
I am Jesus, Ian.
Okay, well, praise be to Brian that you called then. Thank you.
That was good. Okay, so met up, reconnected with a girl recently at a bar. I've never texted her before. And if I did, I think it was on like two phones back. I have a smartphone now. Anyways, I plugged her number into my phone after connecting to her at the bar. She doesn't know any of my friends, and I've never emailed her before. After I texted her, I think whenever it was that I next logged on to Facebook, her profile came up in my friend's suggestion.
Oh, interesting.
So, you know, you see things progress. The loss of friends progress over time. But, you know, it used to be that when you sign up for a profile on a MySpace or Facebook, they ask you, they used to ask you, is the point, would you like to import all of your email contacts?
Right.
And now they don't even ask you that. It's just assumed. But so now they also apparently are, they track whoever is in your phone or on your friend's contact or on your SD card.
You know, it actually kind of reminds me of the Adjustment Bureau. I was watching that movie tonight with Matt Damon. It sort of dovetails into the plot line from that, too. How about that? Scott is in Duarte, California, on Coast to Coast. Scott?
Hi, Ian.
Hey.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that I had some near-death experiences, and one which I was gone or deceased for quite some time, which to my neurosurgeons, they were quite surprised that when I came back, because they were feverishly trying to bring me back themselves, and everything they were trying wasn't working, and they declared me time of death and everything and walked away. And the nurse, they were in scrubbing up when the nurses burst through the door telling them to come back, he's alive. And my head neurosurgeon, he's the one who told me this. And
what do you remember from it?
And he
what do you remember from it?
Everything. It was absolutely beyond beauty and wonder, and I was exposed to all knowledge of the universe. And I know that sounds quite fantastic, but when I say that, I mean what the words say is, I mean, all knowledge.
Did you immediately try to get on Jeopardy? Which I think if you got all the knowledge, you go right there. Just make a little cash. Why not? You've just been through a harrowing experience. At least you can make some of it back.
Oh, no, it took me, when I came out of my coma, it was a 28-hour surgery.
Really?
And which during that time I was dead three times, and I was clinically dead twice since during seizures. It took me some time to, you know, in the hospital to recuperate.
Sure.
And then from there, I was paralyzed on the left side for quite some time. Couldn't walk.
Are you back to full function now?
Yes.
Good. Well, that's great. Thank you. Interesting. And as so often happens, people that have those near-death experiences, they do remember so much. It's just people don't ask them about it. And frequently they're processing. So if you know somebody who's had that, ask them about it and see what they remember. Bill is in Toronto on Coast to Coast on a Wild Card line. Bill?
Hi, good evening. I hope you're well.
Thank you. I am. You too.
I just want to ask you, when you sign off on your show, you use a slogan, a saying, and I can't pronounce it, Deumas something?
Deus Teumat.
Yes, yes. I want to ask you, what does it mean, Ian, and it's, where does it come from?
It's Latin for your fly is open. No, it's
a sense of humor.
It's Latin for God loves you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've never heard it. And my last quick question, have you ever read a book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill?
I have it. I actually have never read it. I have it. Somebody gave it to me years ago.
Oh,
I have it. It's on my shelf.
Yeah, it's a fascinating book. So I'm a big fan.
Oh, good.
Of his.
I appreciate it. I'll go take a look. You know, honestly, I have. And I keep coming. I read the title. I read the subtitle. And I think one of these days I got to grow rich. So I'll have to read it. So thank you for the reminder, Bill. And I appreciate that. And I'm about to do that sign off in a few minutes. Hey, Jess is in Chicago on Coast to Coast on an open line. Jess?
Yes, sir. Well, I'd like to talk about an experience I had when I was about 8 or 9 years old.
Okay. What happened?
About 3 a.m, I woke up for some reason, walked into the living room and was looking outside, and I watched this bluish white light descend from the sky into my front yard and kind of hover about 10 feet above the grass, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt, I woke up in the bathtub that morning about 6 o'clock. I don't know why, but I mean, I feel it was more of a extraterrestrial encounter.
Have you ever had a hypnotic session to see what was there in between what you remember?
No, sir. A friend and I were talking about that the other day, and something I'd be really interested in doing to try to, I guess, bring stuff out that I can't remember awake, I guess, you know?
It would cost you about $200. You find a reputable hypnotherapist. You ask them. You bring your friend along with you to record it and to monitor and see whether or not you might say some things that you don't consciously remember.
Yeah, yes, sir. So, I mean, that's something that's readily available to most people.
Sure. Yeah, you just start in the Yellow Pages. Or you could ask, I mean, you could ask around, but I mean, if they're a hypnotherapist, a lot of them would be perfectly willing to explore that. They may not guarantee that you'll be able to recover anything, but who knows? Some of them might have some experience in that without leading you on. And that'd be the interesting part, to record the whole session to hear whether or not they introduce ideas and concepts like, so was it a gray? And suddenly your mind's thinking it was a gray instead of what was it? And then seeing what's actually there. So you want somebody that's not going to lead you into making false statements or recovering false memories. And if you record that, you can listen very carefully. If they're clean, open questions, and what comes out of you is what comes out of you, that'll be a lot more useful, and you'll have a lot more to go on. Interesting. Thank you. Steven is in Kansas City. We're doing open lines to the top of the hour. Steven?
Hi, Ian.
Hey.
Hey, I'm really gonna miss you, man. I love you, but
thank you.
But I also love John B.
Oh, good. So that works out great. And I'll be on Sunday nights once a month, so you don't have to miss
I'll
me forever. Thank you.
I love John B's opinions, and I even love his bumper music.
Is it terribly different than mine?
Yeah, it's really. I mean, he goes back a long ways, and then he plays stuff that I've never heard before, and it's just exquisite.
Good. Well,
you know, I can't come up with any other word for it, but
I'm here, glad to hear that. Go ahead.
What I wanted to talk about was, I think that the Occupy Wall Streeters are at the wrong places. I think they should all get together and bust themselves over to Washington, D.C. and occupy Congress, since Congress is the one that's been giving them all the rich people the breaks that they don't need. And all the subsidies for the rich corporations that they don't need, and tax breaks to companies that take jobs overseas. It's just, I think they're at the wrong place. And now that they're being kicked out of the parks, I think they should go to Washington.
No argument from me.
Yeah.
That sounds right. Will is in Madison on Coast to Coast. Will?
Yeah.
East of the Rockies. Go ahead.
I never thought I would begin to think the way I am starting to think. Columbus Day, I drove early in the morning from Madison, Wisconsin, up to Virginia, Minnesota, to visit my children and grandchildren. Nice sunny morning, 10 a.m., no traffic anywhere on the highway from Madison, oh, maybe 200-300 miles all the way up to northern Minnesota. 10 a.m., there was a police car. Pulled me over. I had this GPS unit on my dash telling me what my speed was. Pulled me over 10 miles south of Eveleth, between Duluth and Virginia. Virginia police car, out of his jurisdiction, pulls me over, gives me a ticket for speeding. I was wondering why would some police officer from the city of Virginia, way outside, 30 miles outside of the city limits, be out there on the highway to pull somebody over. So I looked into the situation. I got in touch with the Minnesota Department of Transportation, the Department of Public Safety, which overrules traffic safety. There is such a program under the FEMA, Federal Emergency Managing Association. I've got it on my internet right now. You can apply for funds. Apparently, these two departments have applied for funds to control, watch people. It's called HEAT, H-E-A-T, High Enforcement of Aggressive Traffic. What a joke. Anyway, I want to, and I'm in touch with them, and I'm trying to get a response. They're wiggling around. Do they have, they do admit, they did get federal monies, and they have sent letters out to different towns, cities, villages, whatever, political jurisdictions, to, if they want, apply for monies where they can control, watch, observe people using GPS devices. I have looked under my car. I'm trying to find if my car has a GPS. The reason why I'm concerned about it is because once when I came back from Europe, I had my two children, age 12 and 10, on the plane with me in Stockholm. They took all three of us off. They took our clothes off. They checked our body orifices. Little boys, my little boys. Why me? Because I've been an activist all my life. I'm 77 years old, and I do not like, I did not like back then, and I do not like now what is going on.
Okay.
Well, that, we're going to have to take richer, and the little guys like you and me were suffering.
Well, I accept that paradigm, and I also, you got to wonder. Yeah, I mean, some people are just cop magnets. You know, that's well known even in criminal circles. There's certain people they don't like to hang out with for some reason. They're cop magnets. Sorry about what happened to you, Will. Interesting though, and good luck on finding that GPS device. Dennis is in Norris Lake. We just got a few more minutes left before the top of the hour, and we call it quits on open lines. Dennis?
Good morning. It's my pleasure, Ian.
Thank you. Thanks for grabbing a line. We just got a minute for you. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'd like to say I hate to hear you're leaving, and I think you're certainly the most objective and
upbeat. Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But I appreciate the kind words. And so you had a quick comment you wanted to make?
Well, I have some questions about music. I know you like music, and
yes,
your brother was a drummer.
Yes.
What are your three favorite albums or songs, and what do you consider a proper length of time for a bumper? I'm going to make you.
Okay, proper length of time for a bumper is determined purely by mood. So, you know, okay. there's some people that would say a proper bumper is about 70 seconds. You know, beginning, middle, and end. But, you know, like that Tony Tone song at the bottom of the hour, I had to go with it a little longer. Three greatest albums. Oh, I mean, that's a bar conversation that could go on forever. But you got to, you know, I would say more likely it's just, again, you know, you got to pick your classic best made albums, the ones I'd bring on a desert island. I don't know. But you gotta throw in one of the more. I would take maybe a White Album from the Beatles and put it up there as one of the greatest albums of all time. I can't even do it. But maybe one of the Rolling Stones albums. It might just gonna go with some greatest hits. You know, cover everything just in case a party breaks out. I'll have to think about that more sometime. Maybe I'll tweet that out. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll answer your question, Dennis, in a tweet coming up later on this week, and I get a chance to give it some thought, because we only just have a minute here, and Charles has been waiting in Berkeley on Coast to Coast, and I want to get him on. Charles?
Ian, thank you so much for all the times you've had me on the air. We've had very interesting conversations, even arguments, but it's always been really, really beautiful, and I respect you highly. Two things I can squirt them in if I have the time.
Well, you may not, so you better hurry. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, there's a company called Palantir Technologies. They're right here in the Silicon Gulch area. I'm kind of familiar with them because they do probably the most aggressive, large-scale, sort of meta-scale knowledge ontology systems processing engine that's ever been invented. It can take any kind of conversation, any kind of content from anywhere, from any different kind of communication mechanism, and sort of meld it all together. So like a meta-scale field of data, and then pull from that patterns that automatically emerge by association. It's the most powerful engine ever created of this type. And so if your previous caller or previous guest was talking about gathering information from all different sources and then kind of correlating them all together with some possibly useful output, this is exactly what this company does. And I'm quite familiar with them, actually. It's something you might want to look at, just want to get a background. And also, the other thing is, one of the events I actually was on a panel of a couple of years ago featured a variety of different kinds of new micro and even nanoscale implants used for all kinds of things. And one of the people that was there actually had a electronic implant in his audio cortex specifically to correct his hearing problems. And I don't know if he had the same physiology problems that you're addressing.
Right.
But a company called Medtronics, I don't work for these people, I'm just
Medtronics is right up the street from me.
Yeah, they're the number one holder of patents for these types of neurological enhancement or signal processing technologies. And when I saw this fellow about 2 years ago, he was...
I'm running out of time here, Charles, but I appreciate that because, I mean, I know that a lot of people are going to be giving me some suggestions, and I thank you for the sentiment for that. It is interesting, and the technologies do change all the time, and I will make sure that Lauren Weinstein is aware of your first comment. So thank you. We'll leave it there, and I'll just say I'll be doing a lot of demoing of hearing aids coming up in the future, and I understand what a lot of people have been going through for years and years listening to Coast, and thank you so much for your kind thoughts. Deus te amat, and I do too.